Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. I have a really special guest today, a little bit outside of what we normally do, but I'm so excited to have Dr. Paul Quinn with me today. How you doing, Paul?
I'm great, Sean. Thanks for having me.
I'm thrilled, and I have a very special connection to you because we worked together on our very first cookbook we published at Level Best, and it's just such an important book, and I really love the whole process of working with you. So the fact that you're on the show, this has made my day. I'm so excited. I'm going to give you an introduction. Paul Quinn is a certified nurse midwife with over 30 years of experience in women's healthcare. Holding a PhD in nursing, he is an accomplished researcher in women's health and is the author of Sexually Transmitted Diseases, Your Questions Answered, Birth Control, Your Questions Answered, and Teen Pregnancy, Your Questions Answered. You're answering all the important, good questions we all need answered. Thank you so much for that. So you're here today to talk about, tell us about your book. Tell us what the title is and what your book is.
So my book is Prenatal Possibilities, Recipes for a Healthy Pregnancy and Beyond. And my book came from actually my clinical practice. So it's amazing. People are so concerned about doing the right thing, rightly so, for themselves and especially for their baby. So these women would come and say, like, what am I supposed to eat? I don't want to gain weight. I want to be careful. I worry about my blood pressure and things like that. So what I've learned along the way was like this generation of mothers definitely does not know how to cook. And they're not sure what to do because it's so easy to go get food that's either prepared or ordered in. And some of that is healthy and it's great, but these people want answers. And I'm finding that every woman comes with a village. So she's got a mother, a sister, a husband, a partner, friends, coworkers, people that want to help her. And she needed a little bit of guidance. But no matter how much we talked about protein and carbohydrates and fiber and things like that, I kind of got the blank stare that it was like, what does that mean? And how do I do this? And I would look out the clinic window and there she was at the bodega on the corner buying a bag of chips and eating drinking a soda. And I was like, no, that's not what we talked about. So what I started doing was writing down recipes that I make. And I was like, here, what's something you like to eat? Oh, you like chicken? That's great. Here's what I do with chicken. Do you like carrots? Good. Do you like this vegetable? And soon I would draft recipes and then I would make photocopies and keep them in my bag. And then as these people came in, I'd be like, here, try this, or here, try that one. And soon I had lots of recipes piling up in my bag because they were coming in and saying, well, that's great for dinner, but what do I do about breakfast and lunch? And I need a snack and I like dessert. Can I have chocolate? It was all basic questions. So I said, what's one place that I could put this together? So I decided to make a website and I named it Prenatal Possibilities, which is still in existence. And I started putting my recipes up on there. And then I was getting great comments from women all over the United States and actually internationally who said, these are great. I can't wait to have the book. And I said, what book? But they said, well, if I had the book, I could open to any page and I could prop it up on my counter and I could follow it because they're easy. But I don't want to scroll and I forget the name. And like, could you put it together or could you make a file? So I started sending PDFs out and I was like, the request for books came so often that I said, it's time. And I broke it down into appetizers, vegetables, snacks, breakfast, lunch, dinner, desserts. So it was easier. And by the time it was all said and done, over 140 recipes, almost 145 are in that book, all taken from the experiences of women asking questions and me hopefully answering them with an example for something to do. All recipes I've made and
Yeah.
all recipes that were photographed by, thankfully, a food photographer who happens to be a registered dietitian.
I love how you laid it out like that. And you made it's very approachable, very simple. I mean, the food is not simple, but it's very easily prepared. And I think that was really smart because it's sophisticated food to like, so someone who's a foodie is not going to be like, I'm not going to make this basic thing. But it's not so really complicated where it's intimidating to people who don't cook. You know what I mean? So it's you found a nice little sweet spot there. So it's
Right.
I'm a foodie and I'm like, I'm gonna eat all these things. I love all these things. So it's you just found a really good level. So you have it's interesting to people who know how to cook, but it's also it's not intimidating for those who are coming up to the level. That's it's just a wonderful book on many levels. And the
Thank
pictures
you.
are great. The pictures are beautiful too. All right, so let's learn about you. What inspired you to have a career in medicine in the first place, specifically working with women in pregnancy? What was what would why you can do a million things? Why would you do that?
Right. I think it's genetic. So I love ancestry.com and I actually found out my mother's a nurse. So I am the child of a very successful nurse who I looked up to my entire life. My mother's career started in obstetrics as well. And when she graduated nursing school in 1965, she won the highest award in Brooklyn for nurses at that year for obstetrics. So she won a beautiful medal that was almost like a pin. And prior to that, I found out that my great grandmother's a midwife, which I didn't really know until ancestry.com, that she was on my mother's side, that she was a midwife in Ireland and had delivered a lot of babies in their town and the village. And then her daughter emigrated to the United States. And then she became almost a woman's attendant in the nursery. So my mother followed in those footsteps with everybody. And here I am. And coming after me, my cousin's daughter just got accepted to nursing school at Quinnipiac. So now the legacy will continue. And she wants to go be a labor and delivery nurse. So I have always been mystified by birth. It's something I will never experience. It's something I will never be. So I could, it wasn't contagious, but it was magical. And it was something that I was like, look at this. Like, how is this possible that another life, you know, a woman grows another life in her body and delivers it. And this beautiful baby comes out at the end. And it was just such a mystical process to me. So I wanted to be part of that in the worst way. And realizing that once I did, I finally found the connection that women are the link between the past and the future. Without them, there is no future. And it's ensuring that we move on, because it takes women to have babies that makes that happen. Like, what a special time to be part of that moment when the future starts and continues. And I hold that in the highest regard, that the birth experience and the pregnancy experience is something so special and so valuable and intimate that whatever I can contribute to that and be a part of, I want to.
That's so cool. That's so poetic and beautiful that you would think of it that way. And the history of, oh, that's amazing. That's so good. That's what you want in a caregiver that's going to take care of you and your baby. From some assembly line person or whatever, you know, that's really nice that you infuse that sense of responsibility into it. And how many babies do you think you've delivered?
Personally, probably my own that I've caught were probably in the hundreds, but I've attended thousands of births, being either a nurse or in some aspect of the delivery process. I mean, I have a 22-year career in midwifery and 33 years as a nurse. So I've been at this gig a long time. So it's, I've been around. So it's there.
Is it like in the movies? I mean, literally everyone, oh, I'm just kidding. That's hilarious. Well, I love that. I love that you've been present for all those births, and there is some kind of symbiotic process that happens with the people in the room. So I'll never forget the people that are in the room when I did it. I never see them again, but I always remember them, you know. So, all right, number two, we kind of touched on this a little bit. So having the idea to write a cookbook and actually physically sitting down and doing it are two different things. Mm-hmm. How many people have you wanted to do? Oh, I'd write a book if I had time. You seem like a very busy man. What made you really, you said you, I know the inspiration. How did you physically get this done? Did you write every single day? Like, how did you lay it out in your mind? What was the writing process like for you?
Yeah, it was different because I want to make this clear. I am not a chef. I have no formal training. I'm a good cook and I cook well, but I do not hold the title of chef, and honor those who do, because it's a lot of work. But as a nurse, what was tricky was because I also continued my education at the same time. So I was in graduate school. I went on and got my doctorate. So there were gaps in there. But this writing was kind of like a break. And it was, and I have one of those blank journals, and it's got the beautiful pages on it and stuff like that. That you know, I just love filling up with my handwriting and my notes and my post-its and everything were in there. So I carried that book with me everywhere, because wherever I went, there'd be an ingredient, like, what could I make around this? Or, oh, this is good, what can I do? Because my personal eating habits, I'm a vegetarian and I'm gluten-free. So a lot of what's the meat dishes, I relied on other people testing. And thankfully, my family loves to eat what I test and is good about it. But, you know, I'm not sure how that goes, but that gave me the extra level that it wasn't just my opinion that it was there, but it took discipline, and it took having a commitment to seeing this done. And my goal was the finish line, not that the book would be written, but that I'd have something to give to her, whoever her is, that she could have this, that I could say, here, you know, use this as not as your Bible, but as your guide. You know, it starts from here, but it'll give you the premise of what you can do, and you can customize this your way. You can add spice, you can take meat out, add more vegetables in. adding things with color, make this yours. But I needed something to give to her more than those scraps of paper coming out of my bag, photocopied in my handwriting or on my webpage. So the book, the little journal became journal number three, journal number four. And it's like, you know, I can't throw them out yet. Like they're my, somebody somewhere is going to want them, I guess, if not me. But it was a very disciplined process. And it took a lot because it was testing a recipe, refining the recipe, being open to the criticism of the recipe, and then trying to make modifications on it and trying it again, especially when I couldn't taste a lot of it, but I could smell it. So it was a process that was new to me and it was kind of exciting, but having gone to graduate school and getting the research background to find the answers I needed about either the food or the culture it came from or the way it was made or even the physics of cooking it, like I knew where to go now. And that was a powerful tool, was having that ability to get in and out of the scientific databases. And if I needed something about, like, you know, gestational diabetes, or if I needed something with anemia of pregnancy, like I knew where to go now. And it helped to kind of do those in tandem. But it definitely took, it was a process and it was something I was not used to. It's not writing like narrative, which was new for me also. You know, you don't have to write complete sentences and, you know, things that are, you know, a cup of broccoli chopped is different than a cup of chopped broccoli. You know, where that comma goes, as you grammatical people know, I had to learn all that along the way. And thankfully there was mentors along the way to help.
Oh, that's good. So you had mentors and you had, sounds like you had a lot of support with the recipes. And that was one of my questions about the testing of the recipes, which you just went over. So that's mm-hmm. cool that you had mentors and, but there are paragraphs you've written that are narrative in there. And I was struck by you just seem like a very positive person. It's like, they were very up, like, we can do this. Come on, we can do this.
We got this.
You can make this. So that's what I even though I had not met you, I felt like I knew you through reading this book, even if it's a cookbook. I feel like I knew the type of person you were projected to be in this. It was good. It's very good. All right. So Dr. Lee question. What's the most common mistake you see people making with their nutrition during this critical time or any time? What do you think is the worst thing people do to themselves with their food?
I think people find out they're pregnant and then go out of the gate running. And then reality hits and then they backpedal and they feel guilty for the snack that they eat. It's okay. You can have potato chips. You can have ice cream. You can't make it your meal, but you're going to slip and it's okay. You're going to be hungry. And it's not the time. If you were a size six and you're pregnant, you will not be a size six by the end of this pregnancy. And it's okay. However, if you eat properly during pregnancy, you will be able to bounce back to your size six or your size 10 or your beautiful size 14 or 18, whatever you are, you're gorgeous. It's okay. Stay that way. Your body is your body. It was meant to house this baby and it's going to grow it in the best way that it can. And to go and try to trick it to be something that society says it's supposed to be is wrong. And everybody wants the experience of pregnancy, which for most women in the United States is the baby shower, the cute outfits, you know, the nursery, the color scheme, the announcements, the gender reveal. There's a lot of rites of passage along the way that if there's one glitch in that path, off she goes. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes is that women blame themselves for things that happen out of their control, whether it be that they were hungry and ate something or gained a pound, had an abnormal lab value and now needs diabetes monitoring, or, you know, it has an infection or she's got preeclampsia, things that are not her control because she's growing a unique individual. So that unique individual is her passenger and she is feeding it and growing it, but it is its own person. So they do hard things to themselves. And I try to make women feel better about it. Like no matter what you do at the end of the day, that baby will be here. You will be a mother, title there given. You are a mother right now. You're good. You got this. And that's the idea, is that there's a bunch of us that are going to help you get there to that finish line. And you're going to do it the best way you can. And you're going to hit hiccups once that baby's born. You're still going to do the best you can. But my book maybe will give them enough good food and easy recipes that they were so good that they'd want to do it after. And maybe that's something, because they're not going to spend hours slaving over a stove or standing, that if they need that quick meal when now they have two toddlers and a spouse and everyone else, that they could whip this up or make it in bulk and reheat it. So I try to give them that option and kind of that resource to have something for them when they go. But I feel like women definitely beat themselves up too much over simple food choices that is not going to be make or break. And it's okay. And it's okay to have snacks. And it's okay to crave. That's a good sign. Have cravings. That's a healthy pregnancy. Those are hormones. That's okay.
That's good to know. That's good. Well, we do take a lot on, and then in all phases of pregnancy, and you do tend to be like, not everything is perfect. Why? What is my problem? You know, and it's like, why is everything not perfect around me? I obviously need to change my body or fix stuff or whatever. And that's just sort of like we take that on. I don't know why. It's not good. It's not healthy. I don't.
That's true. That is true.
Here and there, I can see myself slipping into that, but it's like, I just try to be like, here, everyone's alive. We're all good. We have a house. It's fine. You know, like, let's just move on.
You got this.
Yes, my couch doesn't match the walls. It's going to be all right. Yeah, that's a good message, but you are an upbeat. You're a very positive, upbeat person. So I am selfishly going to ask you, is there going to be a follow-up to this book? You just kind of mentioned something, and I was like, you should do it for families or like people with small children. But it is, I will let you answer. I'm just excited. Is there a follow-up? What are you writing, or what are you working on now? Can I look forward to more Paul books? What's happening?
So what I think has been the best part of this whole journey was when the book was born. It definitely had its birthday. And I have met so many incredible, amazing women around the country, whether it be electronically or in person. And what I'm finding is I knew America was a melting pot, and that's what makes this country fantastic. But I'm learning about the impact of culture and what different cultures do, how they manage pregnancy, what they believe are healing foods and things that promote a healthy pregnancy. And you know what? They're not wrong. There is some good science behind that. And it might be some things that women on the other corner of the country may not know because they don't see women like them. And the international possibilities are numerous. And I'm learning that the different countries and different cultures are truly shaping the flavor of pregnancy. And it's like, wow, I didn't even know about this. And it's like, yeah, that's okay. And there's a lot of stuff that has yet to be named. You know, there's people that call one herb something else, but it might be something else in this country. And, you know, things that are made into stews and things that are made into meals and things that are made into a snack or traditions that happen all in the way of from the centuries of supporting women. And I think probably pulling those together, you know, either by region or by nation or whatever, would really give not only some really good recipes to have and new things to try that we could actually cook here in whatever state we're in, but internationally to kind of bind this community of women and kind of create this culture of childbearing women who support each other and share. And in this generation with the internet and with books and with, you know, things that are so accessible, what a great platform to help share that information and that knowledge. And so many years women have been, you know, squelched and subjugated, like, you know, it was old wives' tales or old midwives' tales, things that were kept quiet and only among a circle of women, where now men can benefit from this as well. Children, families, like you said. So compiling those international focus is kind of, I think, my next step. And I'm starting already. And it's kind of cool because I don't want to lose the ideas and the thoughts that I've gotten from meeting these women. And, you know, in each country, there's so many different regions that they do things differently. Like, you know, Italy has how many regions? India has how many regions? And women practice differently from the mountains to the south. Everybody does it different depending on where you are. And a lot of women aren't like the United States. They don't travel. So they've kind of lived on what they've had and may do with what they have and then come here and try to adjust to what they don't have anymore and make it work. So it's been a great journey. And it's, you know, everywhere I go, I like meeting people and hearing their stories and hearing what they went through and seeing like what they would do different or hearing what they've done to my recipes and change them.
Yeah, that's so cool. Oh, I love that. I love you. I mean, that's multiple books that you're thinking of. That's really, really good. Well, it's funny because we can always point out the differences in ourselves, but there's common things that bind us all. I mean, we all give birth, we all create families, we all, you know, eat food. There's things that, you know, well, that as human beings, we're the same. But it's just, as you say, there's cultural flavor. I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, just, you know, we're more in common than apart if we just think about it. We just think about being kind because you have no idea what stuff people are going through. You know, you have no idea. It's just start with kindness because then you're going to find something in common. You start with, you know, you're different from me. I don't like you already. You know, you're just missing out. Well, I was looking through the comments on Amazon today just because I had looked at those for a while. And you have a lot of really people from all over like saying great things about your book and Goodreads and everywhere else. But So congrats for that. I think you've made a connection with a lot of people. And probably some of those are surprising that you may not have intended, but that's what happens. When you put something great out in the world, you get positive feedback from unexpected places.
I was very shocked that the number of when I have a lot of men who follow me who are bodybuilders and fitness people. And, you know, I look at them and I'm like, my God, you're huge. Like, look at the size of you. Like, what are you doing? He's like, no, I like protein and that you gave me something else to do with chicken. I was like, I never knew. And he got the book because a wife or girlfriend had it. And he was like, I was thumbing through it and we made this together. And I'm finding a lot of that people are cooking together. And that's very uniting because I think there's a whole concept of coming back to the table. And, you know, I always tell the story, no matter what party you go to, everyone is in the kitchen. No matter how nice your house is, you could have the best yard, the best living room, everybody is in the kitchen. Get out. But they all congregate there because the kitchen is like the heart of the house. And it's where the most fundamental thing happens, and that's eating. So it's usually where people are most comfortable because it's the most lived in room in the home. And having so many realtor friends in my life now where people are buying homes because they're having their first baby and whatever, and add one more thing onto her plate that she's got to go find a house and move. But you know, the people want the kitchen, and the kitchen is truly like the nucleus of the home. And bringing people back to that table to take, whether it's 30 minutes or an hour, you know, you shut the world off for just a little bit and you bond over food. And one of my recipes could be a meal you bond over because it's easy to make. You can make it in advance and heat it up that night when you get home. Or if you work, or make it in the morning when you both get home. It's
Yeah,
definitely.
absolutely. Yeah. That's awesome. I love all of that. So, where can people, final question, which is always very sad. Where can people follow you and learn more about your books? Where can we find you? I know you do a lot of interviews. You're on like shows and radio things. And so where is there a place where we can find everything like that to boost your amplify your voice?
So I'm present on all social media. So I have my personal pages, which is I'm Paul Quinn on Facebook. You can follow me there. I am Dr. Paul Quinn on Instagram. Prenatal Possibilities itself is its own Instagram page, which is where a lot of my events and the new recipes and stuff get featured, thanks to my fantastic publicist, Amanda Ramore. And I also have my own website, which is www.prenatalpossibilities.com. So new recipes are there. And I'm kind of expanding that venue because as I'm meeting new people and new experts around the world, there's people that, you know, so for example, that question about the homes, I am not an expert in any stretch about kitchens, kitchen design, nursery design, whatever. I can tell you about safety, but the rest of it and what's trendy and what's new and how to save money. So I'm fortunate to have friends in a network now of those people. So I want to bring them in into my world and into the resource and make them available to people who rely on me or tap into me. So bringing that expertise to people. So there will be some changes to Prenatal Possibilities with new guest writers and new guest bloggers and guest contributors to bring their expertise there to share.
Love that. That's so cool. Well, that's such a good idea too, because as right, it is the heart of the house. I mean, we're at Thanksgiving. She's got an older home, and it's like this cramped kitchen, but we're all like crammed in there, just like hanging out and putting the parade on the TV, and that's where we want to be. So we just put all the food out, and like we just had our champagne and watched every, like the living room, which is four times as big as nobody wanted to be in it. So, but it's a very, very good point, and you're doing great things, and I'm really happy to be. Just even in a small way associated with it. I just think it's awesome what you're up to and you're helping people. And that's what else, what's better than that?
It's been definitely a great ride and an unexpected one. And I look forward to where the future is taking me. And you know, I just the contacts and the people and meeting them and stuff. It to me that's energizing. You know, I didn't join nursing just to sit in a closet somewhere. Like I need people and I need that interaction and I need that kind of energy from them. So they're helping me as much as I hope I'm helping them.
Yeah, we have that in common. I'm the odd extrovert in the writing community. I'm like, hey, let's all have a party. Come on.
There you go.
Well, it's really nice to chat with you. I cannot wait to see what you do next. And everyone needs to go out and get Prenatal Possibilities. Follow the website, look at the blog, make the recipes. I mean, they're delicious. As a chef, I'm telling you, they're delicious. So I'm so happy that you had time to talk to me today. I know you're really busy. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sean. It's been great to be with you. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you.